Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Andrea Perdomo Hernandez, WBUR transportation reporter. What's going on?
Hey, Daryl, how are you?
I am good. I bet you are, too. You know why?
Why is that?
Because the T has a new general manager. Haven't you heard? Our new transportation reporter.
Big week for transit.
I know. I bet you've been very busy.
Yes, I have been like on pins and needles for the last few weeks because, you know, the Healey administration, Governor Maura Healey's been saying that they're going to announce soon. So every morning in the middle of the night, I'm like checking Twitter. First thing in the morning, I've been like checking. So when the news finally came down, I was like, whoo, one less thing to be worried about.
I hate. And listen, one less thing to be worried about. And there's so much more. So look, let's get into it. Andrea, tell me about Governor Maura Healey's pick to lead the MBTA as general manager. We have been waiting for this moment for a long time now.
Yes, we have. The former general manager, Steve Pothtak, stepped down in January. One of the things that Healey said when she first took office, that her priority was going to be to appoint this person, right? So everyone's been like waiting, anticipating. There's been a lot of anticipation around this announcement. And it finally came this Monday. They announced that Philip Ng is going to be the new leader.
Philip Ng. Tell me about Philip Ng.
So Philip Ng hails from New York. He is a guy that has more than 40 years of experience in transit underneath his belt.
Oh, wow.
So he started with the New York State Department of Transportation back like in the 80s.
Talk to me about his track record over those 40 years.
So in those 40 years, you know, going back to the 80s, he's worked in a lot of different capacities in transit. He became the New York State Department of Transportation's like chief engineer and executive deputy commissioner back in 2013. So he's held some leadership roles. He's also been the chief operating officer from New York City's Metropolitan Transit Authority, that's the MTA. And he was also the interim president of that system. Then he didn't stop there. He went on to the MTA's Long Island Railroad to be a leader there, you know, and he did that from 2018 to 2022. And he's also been a consultant advising on some transportation matters as well. So he, you know, his knowledge runs deep. You know, he's overseen highways and stuff, railroads, like there's a lot of stuff that he's had his hands on, you know, spanning across his 40-year career.
That's a breakdown of his rap sheet, right? His resume. What are some of his achievements?
Most notably, when he was heading up the Long Island Railroad, he took on that system when it was having its worst performance times in like 18 years. Mm-hmm. And he was able to turn it around. So that's one of the things that like the Healey administration and a lot of people are kind of pointing to because of the problems that are plaguing the tea right now,
yep.
particularly with performance.
Yep.
They're hoping that like his experience actually turning that around for the LIRR will be beneficial here.
Mm. How has he been received? What are advocates saying, the elected officials?
So I, you know, as soon as they made this announcement, I started hopping on the phone with different advocates here in the state. And for the most part, I would say it's like cautious optimism.
Mm-hmm.
People in this state are cautious about getting their hopes up when it comes to this system. For the most part, I would say that people are kind of enthusiastic that they have made this decision. Like somebody with this much experience, is they're like, okay, this is interesting. Let's see, you know, what this guy is all about. One of the people that I spoke to was Brian Kane. He's the executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he had to say about the appointment of Ng for this role.
Mr. Ng is someone with a lot of experience in transportation. I spoke to some former colleagues that work at Long Island Railroad. He has a reputation there of really being a project delivery person, a program delivery person, which is something that T desperately needs right now.
Mm. I got to say for myself, you know, especially coming from New York City, I'm like, okay, what's he going to do, you know?
Right. And some of the enthusiasm has been as well, like he's worked a lot in New York State. So whether not too different than what we experience here in Massachusetts, old infrastructure, that kind of stuff. There's some similarities in like what we're dealing with here in Massachusetts. So I feel people are like, OK, at least he has an understanding more or less of like what the conditions are here in the state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another person that I spoke with is Jared Johnson. He's the executive director of Transit Matters, which is a transportation advocacy group here in the state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He said that, like, while he is happy to see this position filled, that this is a big job.
This person is going to be judged by, you know, by the end of this year, have we made meaningful progress on restoring service, restoring confidence in the agency, and bringing riders, you know, a sense of safety.
You know what? That definitely sounds like the more cautious part of the phrase cautious optimism that folks are feeling right now, right?
Absolutely. Everyone here knows that the T has been in trouble for quite some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good moment, right? Like we're making that first step, but like it's been a long time that the T's been facing, you know, deteriorating infrastructure. Trains are moving really slow. There's a bunch of safety issues, you know, there's low ridership. There's overall general distrust in this system. And I don't want to say people are giving up, but they've been hurt before, you know? So it's going to take a lot to restore that trust in this system. And people are going to be watching, like, how has my experience with this transit system improved, if at all?
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. I want to switch gears a little and talk about these speed restrictions. Because earlier this month, the MBTA lifted a system-wide speed restriction on its rapid transit system, But there are still a lot of places where riders are having to deal with slowdowns. What's going on with that?
So there was a system-wide slowdown that was put in place like the beginning of March. And interim general manager of the T, Jeff Gonneville, said that they needed to do that after finding some inconsistencies with reports regarding track safety. So since then, crews have been working across the system to verify the safety of the track. So they have crews that are going out there making sure that, you know, are there defects? And if they are, they're working to repair them. So while they're doing that work, they have to put these speed restrictions in. So like these kind of slow zones where the trains have to move at a reduced speed. So normally, like one of the subway trains will go about 40 miles an hour.
Yep.
In these restricted zones, the trains are going like anywhere between 10 to 25 miles per hour. You know, I've been taking the T a lot lately, and I have seen a lot of these message boards that tell you when the next train's coming, saying like 20 plus minutes.
Woo! How have riders responded?
I spent a lot of time speaking with riders to see kind of like what really is this impact, because the T has been saying, like, advising people to kind of pad their travel times to allow for longer headways, like in between trains. So I was like, what does that really mean? What does that look like? How are commuters being impacted by this? And so people are leaving earlier, getting to work late. People are frustrated. It's like compounded by all of the other kind of delays and service restrictions and things that have been kind of coming over the last couple of years. I spoke with this Orange Line rider. Her name's Vinsterly Fertil. She's 19 years old. I asked her, I'm like, hey, so how are things different for you? And this is what she had to say.
Yeah, I feel like I have to run more because, like, the bus I take is the 104 to get to Malden Station, which is often late also. So, yeah.
She has to run more to catch her train because, like, her bus is also late. So she told me that between her late bus and between her late train, she's padding her travel time by an hour in order to make it to class on time.
Yikes.
So overall, people are just really frustrated with this system. And one guy that I spoke to, his name's Sean Walsh, he said he was just like so done with like having hope for the T to get better that he actually just recently bought a car.
I didn't want to do it because the environment, the cost, traffic. But like, yeah, relying on the T when you actually need to be placed and multiple times, it's just not worth it anymore.
I feel you, Sean. I feel you.
Because these are people's livelihoods, right, Daryl? Like, people need to get to work. People need to get to school. People need to get to doctor's appointments.
Yes.
And it's hard to get onto a system and really not know when you're going to get to a place.
Do we have any idea, bringing it back to Ng, if this will be a priority for him?
He has said that he knows that the challenges facing the T are many and are great. And he has said that he's dedicated to restoring, like, people's confidence in the system. He says that he's dedicated to transparency and letting people have a better way of planning how they're going to get around. And he's dedicated to making sure that the system is safe for people. He didn't say what his number one priority was going to be. He said he's interested in addressing all of those things.
Yeah, it sounds like Ng has his work cut out for him, you know? What will you be looking out for in the future?
So I'm interested to see what happens now that we have Ng in place. He starts April 10th, and I'm interested to see, like, what, if any, changes he's going to make in leadership, and if we're going to see any changes, like, on the MBTA board of directors, and really what's going to kind of happen while he gets settled and, like, the support system that he puts in place as he tackles the T.
Tackling the T. Well, Andrea, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking us through this very important moment for the city. So thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. I really appreciate it.
That's WBUR transportation reporter Andrea Perdomo Hernandez. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. We want to know, what do you think Philip Ng's first priority should be for the MBTA? Hit us up, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email with your thoughts at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.